That's it. Okay, from the near the top of Tez Zion, Ahmed Aleph. Tani Rabban. So there's a Braisa. Shisha Devarim Ne'emru B'Shedim. So, there are six characteristics that were said regarding demons. Shlosha B'Machia. Sharis, in three ways, they're like ministering angels. Shlosha B'Bnei Adam. In three ways, they're like man. So just a little background here. So the Rambam really is the only main Rishon that I know that doesn't take this literally. It takes it more as factors that cause damages or a psychological phenomenon. And like if you believe in them, then they're real in a sort of psychological sense. The Vilna Gaon, although he is not a Rishon, and in most measures is very careful, obviously, with the covered of Rishonim, that he's not going to contradict Rishonim, but on this one element, he seems to very much go after, as it were, to make clear that the Rambam, in his view, the Vilna Gaon's view, was wrong. That you can't say that it's not a literal phenomenon. So we'll leave it at that. It's not something to dismiss so quickly, but at the same time, it seems that perhaps it's not something you also have to really pay so much attention to, in as much as the Rambam was able to be quite a holy yid without necessarily taking it literally. Okay, so in three ways they're like ministering angels, three ways they're like human beings. So, one, well, how are they like ministering angels? Shlosha b'malachei asharis. What are they? Yesh lahem kenafayim b'malachei asharis. So just like ministering angels have wings, so too, these shadim have wings. Two, v'stasin misoif ha'olam v'ad soifo v'malachi asharis. They can fly from one end of the world to the other, like ministering angels. And three, v'yodin ma'asha asi leyos v'malachi asharis. They know what will be, just like malachi asharis. So, yeah, in some level, they're closer to the world beyond, as it were, than mankind. But we're going to say, wait a second, they're not like Nevi'im, right? Yodi and Sakadaita can enter your mind that they actually know what's going to be, like as it were, like a Navi. No, that for sure isn't the case. Elishoimin me acharaya pargrid. Just like we saw this concept by Acher, that there can be a baskol behind the pargo, behind the partition. And it's almost like when Hashem announces a decree, there's a spiritual announcement that we don't see. It's blocked from us, directly at least. But you see spirits even who are passed on, seem to have access to it. You can hear certain decrees that Hashem makes, and these shadim can hear them. Just like Malachi Asharis. So Shomin,
below prophecy.
Yeah, it's a different thing. They don't know. They're just hearing. They're hearing basically in the back, the behind. Yeah, I'm not sure how to face it in. I'm not sure the technical level. I understand as a below prophecy because you're in many different ways. But you're hearing an announcement of Hashem. Hashem's not speaking to you per se. It's a more general announcement that Hashem's announcing. Based on his decree, which if you hear this decree, you're going to know what Hashem said will be, but you yourself aren't necessarily in tune, certainly not directly with Hashem. It's not an intimate connection with Hashem.
You're like a speaker, actually.
You're basically hearing
Hashem speaks, and you're the speaker who gives it to the public.
Well, that's
not adding or subtracting.
You're saying what prophecy is. Yeah, I mean, that's an element of prophecy. Here, again, it's not an intimate relationship. It's not that you've earned a connection with Hashem in this case, per se. It could be just like we said, a soul that's passed. In Brachos, there's a Gemara where someone hears something that's beyond the partition. It's not necessarily that you're holding. It's just that you're a more spiritual, less physical entity, and therefore you may have access, as it were, generally speaking, to what's going on behind the partition. So just like the Malachi, but in this case, the Malachi Asharis too can hear as spiritual beings. They hear what's going on also in the spiritual realms. And in the spiritual realms, there's not that we talk about this world. There's a hiddenness. But so behind the partition, in other words, when you're not in the world of hiddenness, you'll hear Hashem's decrees, and then that would be the method, as it were, that these shadim would hear announcements of what may happen in the future when Hashem makes a decree. But it's not through an intimate connection per se with Hashem. It's more a function of the fact that they're operating in the spiritual realm behind the hiddenness of this world. Okay. Other thoughts, just briefly about these three factors. One, I'd say I keep in mind that there is a certain parallel to some extent of the choices brought by. We're going to see three ways that man is similar to angels, and we'll see some similar ideas. So that's just something to keep in mind. Maybe we'll bring it up when we get to man. One of the ideas that demons fly from one world end of the world to the other. Because again, they're not so needy in the physical realm to the extent that they need a sort of safe physical landscape. They could live anywhere, as it were, in the physical world. So they could find habitat, as it were, in any place on the world.
And they could in any form as well, or just
Yes, and what they look like. It's brought down a little bit in Gittin, I believe, and I think maybe in Brachos a little bit as well. But at least in the commentary on Gittin, I remember there's a famous story with King Shlomo, who comes upon the king of the Shadim and gets himself into trouble, and he ends up getting kicked out of the palace, sort of sent far away, sort of just, it's almost like he wakes up, as it were. He gets pushed out, and he ends up very far away from the palace. And this king of the Shadim is impersonating King Shlomo. So it seems that this king of the Shadim was able to, on the surface, look just like King Shlomo. And he did all sorts of strange things, and people didn't understand what was going on with King Shlomo. And they note that he would never take his shoes and socks off, as it were, I think maybe stockings off. Because the one thing that he couldn't change was the appearance of his feet, his lower legs. They look like the feet of roosters, or bird-like. So that they can't change. So if you ever, someone's acting strange, yeah, you've never seen their feet, step on their feet and see what it feels like. I don't know. But I'm not sure exactly what that means. I don't know if it's literal. I'm not entirely sure. But that's something I know about their appearance. At least a story about their appearance. Okay. So again, they're not Nevi'im, but they're more spiritual entities that can hear what's going on behind the partition. They're spiritual. They're more in the spiritual realm. They can go. They can fly, and they can live in any terrain. They're not as dependent upon the physical habitat. Now, Shlosha Kavini Adam. In what way are they like Kavini Adam? What are they like human beings? So, three things are brought here. Oichlin v'shoysin Kavini Adam. They eat and drink like human beings. Now, Tesis points out you could also say like human beings. They need to excrete waste and they sleep. The Gemara doesn't do that, but he says maybe that's included here, it sounds like, and it's presumably in this list, but if any of the ones of this list, it would be here in this one. Two, parin ravin, they're priya ravia, they have offspring, they need to survive, as it were, through physical means, give on to the next generation, kivini adam. And three, mesim, kivini adam, they also have a fixed lifespan, not like malchisharis, again, these are not like malchisharis, these three. But rather like man. Okay.
What they multiply, so their offspring become demons as well. Is that the idea?
I mean, I presume exactly. They're having babies within their own species.
So overpopulate the regular folks. I mean, I don't understand. But anyway.
I don't understand too well myself. However, again, it seems certainly the majority of Rishonim.
We're not talking about people who are so-called possessed or have a
frame
of mind.
We're talking about a creature.
These are people that were normal and then became something else. We're talking about demons. Were demons from inception, from day one.
These are creations of Hashem.
Whoever saw that can say
The Gemara in Brachos brings down a method you can see them. And then it brings down the story of what happens. Bivi Bar Abaye, the son of Abaye, does this thing. It's like you take the, I don't remember the exact thing, but it has to do with, you're taking the ashes of a firstborn cat, the son of a firstborn cat, something like that, a black cat, I think even maybe, and you put it in your eyes. Well, that's just part of it, I think, and it allows you to see them, but he ends up getting almost killed. They have to beg, like they have to really pray to God for mercy. Like it's not recommended to do. But look, I mean, the whole point, there's another Gemara about, like, if you saw all the thousands, I believe, of, I mean, it's often thought of as demons, certainly, of demons and ways that you could, the damn, ways you get hurt around you, you would be paralyzed. And, I mean, this doesn't complicate the world as long as you try your best with Hashem. And if you're trying to do your best with Hashem, you have nothing to worry about. You can be wholesome with Hashem. You don't have to worry about these details, these, you know, it's more if you're following Yitzhara, this is one of the ways you may get trapped.
Did we explain anywhere in this whole thing the reason Hashem created it?
I don't know. No. I might, but there may be commentaries. I'm sure there are. I'm sure it's addressed. But I do not know it. Okay. Shish Devarim Ne'emru B'vnei Adam. There are six characteristics said regarding human beings. Shloshim b'malchei asharis, three like ministering angels, and shloshik b'vnei adam. There are three ways they're like animals. So shloshik b'malchei asharis. What are three ways they're like ministering angels? So yesham das b'malchei asharis. They have understanding, as a ministering angel as well as understanding. Two. Mahalchin b'koyma zekufa k'malchei sharis. So interesting, it's a contrast both in the shadim, and as much as the shadim were said that they have wings, like they were fly up and down, we simply walk upright. Obviously, that's going to be a contrast to animals who don't walk upright. It's an interesting idea. I'll mention on the surface of it just to make you familiar with it. I've heard, I think, again, I love to listen to Akiva Tatz. He brings just an idea that in certain, there's a vertical and horizontal plane of life, as it were. So you have plants in the horizontal plane, and you have animals in the plants in the vertical plane, and animals in the horizontal plane. And humans, in some level, are although we're more like animals, clearly, there is a certain combination of spirituality, as it were, that we have in the vertical plane. What's the relevance, again, I'm just loosely giving it over, is that in some ways we understand plants do have a sort of spiritual illustration for us, and as much as we understand how even Hashem himself speaks about, I believe, I think it's one of the parshas at the end of Devarim, I don't know if it's Hazinu or right around there, maybe right before Hazinu, that the Torah, as it were, is a holy seed, and the rains of holiness are what foster the growth of the holy seeds that are planted within us through studying Torah, through seeking to come close to Hashem, and the literal structure of trees, as it were, literal elements of plant life, in a way mirrors this sort of spiritual growth. Okay, anyway, it's just a loose idea. I'm sure there's much more to it than what I'm bringing out. Okay, so we went to do two of the ways, and thirdly, we're like angels in as much as misaprim belashon hakodesh k'malchei sharis. We know that before the story of Babel, Tower of Babel, that everyone spoke one language. We learn out generally speaking that it was lashon hakodesh. Humankind is meant to speak the holy tongue, the tongue of Hashem, as it were. That gives us access again. All these things give us access, as it were, to the higher realms, the basis for us to elevate ourselves and to bring out the heavenly divine elements within our animal like bodies.
Shall I?
We know the Ramchal and Derech Hashem speaks out that that really within the free will that people had, there was a whole generation of what he calls the roots, the generation of roots, where the free will decisions that people made were at such ramifications that they would impact the basic genetic makeup of the souls and missions of their descendants. So it was only that Avraham Avinu was the only one who succeeded for all the first, as it were, 10 generations after Noach, and of course even probably the 10 generations before Noach, that really Hashem, remember Hashem created Adam. Adam was not per se only a Jew, he was represented all of mankind. That Hashem,
before the Tower of Babel incident, I think everybody was speaking.
Yeah, everyone was speaking the same language. So, yeah, that's what it's brought down, certainly. But it's all again. But the point, the deeper point is that mankind. Remember, the Jews aren't elitists. We're the only ones who signed up for the mission that we were created for. Everyone else wanted to acquit themselves of it.
Like there's some people that, you know, like don't speak Hebrew. It's Lashon HaKodesh, so I don't speak Hebrew for dailies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was surprised that if that's the language God wanted everybody to be speaking all the time.
It's not so clear about that. We need to make a few points. It's a good point, but we need to make a few points here. One is that there's a very important reason, basis to understand what's going on, right? So if you're from Israel and you've grown up applying Lashon HaKodesh to Limdei Chol, as it were, you're speaking holy languages in a secular context, you're gonna have an advantage in that you can read the words. And you're gonna have a disadvantage because you're gonna think you know what you're talking about. So, one example again, Berner Kivitatz here says luach is a word, maybe encrypted in Yiddish context dialects as well, that could be used to refer to a blackboard. Now, a blackboard is something I can easily erase that I put on. I write something down and I erase it the next day, right? It's like a sort of a something that's, you know, it's very simple. It's, there's no real deep meaning there, but in Hebrew it means something that's engraved and it's permanent and that will never be erased, right? Like the luach of your heart. That's something that will be permanently engraved in your heart. It's a loose point, but you understand. Like, it's a very important difference here. Right? If we're speaking of the luach of your heart, if I interpret that as, I mean, you should write it on the blackboard of your heart. Okay, great. I'll be in shul. I'll get inspired. I'll erase something. And there are a lot of nuances that end up having a big difficulty on. And even like the word of tov, right? Like it's tov, right? Yeah, that's good. That's you could use that in such silly contexts. But tov, obviously, Hashem says, you know, after each creation, it's tov, right? It's tov mode. There is a basis. I think there is a very logical, reasonable basis. Or being very hesitant to speak in Lashon HaKodesh, Stam. So you're right. What was the context? I think you're asking a good question. What was the context that Hashem gave us Lashon HaKodesh at the beginning? And obviously, there are probably advantages if you really understood Lashon HaKodesh, which everyone spoke the same dialect. Presumably, people really knew how to speak Lashon HaKodesh at the time. Again, it wasn't using Lashon HaKodesh in a reinvented way. So it is very different, right? I'm not using Lashon HaKodesh and reinventing it to match it to English or whatever. But again, it's an interesting question.
You had
the
word Hashemah a few weeks ago,
Exactly. Electricity. It's really a word that we should be hesitant to pronounce because it's representing one of the, you know, exactly. So again, there is a difference that using words of Lashon HaKodesh and reinterpreting them is different also than speaking Lashon HaKodesh per se. Okay. What ways are we like? Animals, human beings. So let's see that. Shlosha kebehema. One, oichlin v'sheishin kebehema. We eat and drink like animals. And of course, Shadim also do that. Parma revian kebehema. Interesting. Even Shadim also do that. Right? The first two quality is that the Shadim were like humans. We could have said they were like animals. Interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And three, motzin or in ri'i kebehema. And humans also have this, like behemoths. And we, wait, what is that? Shadim also, Tosfos point out, have that as well. So it's an interesting idea in terms of why exactly Shadim are compared to humans and not to animals, but it seems to be that maybe in as much as they have, I don't know. I mean, we said that they die like human beings. Animals also die. Interesting. I'm not sure exactly why I said they're like human beings. I mean, it does seem that they have a certain amount of das. The Gemara doesn't bring this out, just from the story with the king of the demons, with Shlomo. There's a certain amount of das.
You're saying they're between angels and human beings.
Yeah, but
they don't want to go lower.
They don't want to go lower, but the qualities, all three qualities. Yeah, you're right. So I guess you're right, Shem. As much as they're being compared to angels, that makes them more like human beings. I mean, but it's interesting. That, in other words, what is the way that they're unique like human beings is that they can be compared to angels in certain ways. That is the only real overlap that's unique between Shadim and human beings. Because all the qualities we brought of how they're like human beings, they're also like animals. Okay, interesting point. Okay, let's try to cover a little more ground. Call mistakel ba'arba devarim. Anyone who, so this is an important word to know, mistakel, you see it sometimes once in a while, you'll bump into this in strange locations. You shouldn't translate something as seeing, because if you do, you're going to make yourself a little crazy, and it's not meant to be that way. Mistakel is more of a deeper scrutinizing, a deeper contemplating, a deeper gazing, in a sense of, I don't know the exact boundaries of it, but it's not somebody looking. Okay? Kol mistakel ba'arba devarim. We're going to see it by a rainbow. We'll see it in a minute. That's why I'm telling it to you now. And you'll see, I don't want to bring them because I haven't seen them halakhically brought down, but sometimes you'll see ideas in other contexts as well. So kol mistakel ba'arba devarim. Resui loy shalo baloyim. We're back to the Mishnah. We're bringing down the Mishnah and discussing. Anyone who contemplates deeply, scrutinizes these four things, are not, it's better that he wouldn't have been born. And he's getting himself so confused, he's going to so miss the mark of why he's here, that it's better that he would have not been created. He's messing up the reason he was created. So, okay, so we talk about what are the four things, what's above, what's below, what's before, and what's after. So we say, very good, I understand why I can't scrutinize what's above, what's below, what's after. And on a simple level, I get why those things are beyond me. But but what about what was before? Like history. Why can't I know history? Okay, I want to know history of maybe how things were created, what was before, what was the beginning of creation. But since history seems to be more intimately, I should have a claim on it.
No,
you're right. That's what I'm saying. If I was unclear, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, so why would they say you can't? Why would they question about talking about history? It's clear you don't talk about.
You know, see, it's different. It's different than regular history. In other words, you can't have this approach that's just history because this is before history. Okay? Mother hava. But we're saying, well, the logic of the Gemara says is what was. In other words, If I know after, that's going to mess with my free will. If I know what's above, again, that can mess with my free will. If I know what's below, that can also mess with my free will. But what was before, whatever was. Okay, I don't know, this is the approach of Gemara.
We talk a lot about after. We have a lot of after we die, and there's so many books, and Ramchal, and all. There's so much.
We also do have somewhat about what's before, and maybe more trying to go beyond what our limits of knowledge are. In terms of after, in other words, I want to know the details of to such an extent. I don't know. It's an interesting point as well, but it would presumably, on a simple level, it's trying to know more than what we know. In other words, I want to know details that are beyond what we're given.
We discussed that already. That comes to a point that if you want to know a little bit more than what is available to know, you may stop. Because it's not.
Yeah.
Not a good thing to go further than that.
Exactly.
We're going to discuss this.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so, but yeah, Shelly, I hear, like, here. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar da'amri tervayis. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar said both together, Moshele Melech. So, here's this is why we can't know before. There's an analogy. What is the analogy? To a king. Basar v'dam. Think of a human king. Shamar la avadav. He said to his servants, Benu li palterin gedolin al ha'ashpa. Build for me a magnificent palace Okay, but I'm going to build it on that chashi. That's the land that's available. All right. So halchu v'hanilo. It went and they built this magnificent palace for him. Right, you're walking around in the most beautiful place you think it's on earth. You're completely taken with majesty. Your heart is swelled with how special this place is. So ein ritzayna shel melech lahazkir shem hashpa. Yeah, the king doesn't want the king doesn't want to burst the bubble, as it were. Yeah, you're really standing on a. This used to be a bet of a trashy.
This is like they make these modern urban ski slopes. And they make them out of garbage dumps. They cover them over and put grass on them.
Exactly. So this is why we shouldn't be so focused on what was before. Whatever was before, at the end of the day, is it's trash. Whatever was going on, whether it was the lowliness of this world, whether it was all these worlds Hashem created, but they weren't what he wanted, which is the whole subject into itself. And it wasn't the world he wanted for us in this world. But at the end of the day, the world that we're in is what we're supposed to be focused on. Relative to what was before, in our eyes, it seems like you could say, we might as well consider it trash. We don't need to consider it any more deeply in terms of, at least in some context. It looks like we're running out of time. So why don't we finish up now, and we'll continue from Kol Shelo Chas Al Kavod HaKoino, which is a fascinating Gemara tomorrow.